Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go, hook him up! I would have dog you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is awesome to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Katrera. What's going on, Katrera?
Not much, just hanging and banging.
Cool. And we also have our other co-host on the line, a person who shall now be known as the person who ruined Super China Buffet Day, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Greetings and salutations, misinformed Edward.
That's important. Well, we'll get to the bottom of the story one way or another later on in the show. But anyway, this past weekend, besides being Super China Buffet Day, which is always a cool time, it was SummerSlam, and I gotta say, I highly enjoyed SummerSlam. How about you guys?
Yeah, I thought it was the best for two matches. Or three, because I kind of, Alberto and Christian, I thought it was probably the best wrestling show of the year, pay-per-view-wise.
I think that's fair. It was a good pay-per-view overall. Nothing, I mean, two matches obviously stole the show, and as Katrera said, Alberto and Christian delivered.
Kind of reminded me of WrestleMania 10 with the Owen Hart and Bret Hart match and then the ladder match.
Hmm.
Of course, having two great matches. So.
That was like a great pay-per-view, but, you know, it's WrestleMania, so it has more hype to it. So this one didn't seem as exciting, even with the two great matches, just because it wasn't WrestleMania. But I know Couture didn't probably see any G1, and Craig, I don't know if you've seen any of the New Japan G1, but if you had watched any of the G1 and you watched SummerSlam, you would want to call this show the WWE SummerSlam G1 Climax, because they actually stole a lot of shit from the G1. Christian and El Berto Del Rio was worked exactly like a G1 match. The Divas were doing the Fighting Spirit spot to start the match. And then Brian, he stole Toge Makabe's German, where he stays on the ring post. You had Cena stealing Tanahashi's, or he tried to steal Tanahashi's style clash, but kind of fucked up. And then you had that Fighting Spirit spot between Brian and Cena, which was fucking awesome. And Brian even won that. I mean, It was actually fascinating seeing how much shit they stole from the G1.
Good to know.
Okay.
Well, like I say, you guys didn't see it, but I did. And anyone who did see it would agree with me. But I guess we should run down the whole card. So does anybody have, like, the list? Because it's slipping my mind right now.
I am feverishly looking for it, and I've tried all my sites, so talk amongst yourselves and give me just a second, and I'll get the results up here. I was trying to look for that while you were introducing us and those two top matches
on the show, they would have fit in as like the top two matches at WrestleMania, I believe.
Yeah, they were awesome, and the crowd was into them, and I mean they had big match skills. I mean they really did. I mean that's what really, you know, makes this pay per view so awesome. It was a big thing going on. I mean, and the matches were great, and everything was just, I thought everything was great. I love the way they booked it, you know. I guess a lot of people figured Punk was going to win because Brock wasn't going to be around for a while, and they kept making it look like Punk was going to win, but it was just awesome. But I guess we should really start at the bottom. I hate the way Brian and Dave, they do like UFC pay-per-views where they start with the main event and work their way down. It's like, why are you giving the big thing at the beginning? You should just go from Facebook fights all the way up and then crescendo and peak at the main event.
End with the good stuff. Yeah. End with the good stuff and don't end with the bad stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And speaking of UFC, there was an awesome, you know, I'm down on UFC. You know, I've been except for like the women, but I got to say I enjoyed the UFC show on Saturday too. And I guess we could talk about that a little bit later, but. Craig, have you found anything yet?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, let's get going.
All right. Well, the first match was actually a dark match of sorts where they played it on YouTube and also on WWE.com and on my telephone as I sat at a buffet. We'll get to that later. Dean Ambrose versus Rob Van Dam for the U.S. title. Rob Van Dam won via DQ when the rest of the Shield interfered.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, I didn't see it either. I was still eating myself.
It was...
The weird part about this match, though, is because this match, you know, with the interference and everything, everyone assumed that this match is going to set up a tag team title match for the pay-per-view with Big Show and Mark Henry, but apparently it didn't do that.
No, that was not in the cards for this card, as you would say. But Roman Reigns did hit the spear on Van Dam. It was a fine match. It went actually about 15 minutes with a commercial in the middle. They want to educate fans to actually go out of their way to see the pre-show, and delivering a long match instead of a 2 or 3 minute match, they actually had about a 15-minute match or so with a commercial in the middle.
It's understandable when they have a commercial during Raw or SmackDown or Main Event or anything that's on TV because you have to take commercial breaks. But if you're on a pre-show on the pay-per-view channel and on YouTube and on your website, there's no goddamn need to take a fucking commercial. You can
what
get a commercial before
the commercial?
The match and after the match.
What was the commercial?
Commercial,
I don't even remember.
I'm already watching the
pre-show, though. I know about SummerSlam.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. They shouldn't show the stupid commercial. It's like, I don't. That
Jesus
was
Christ.
That was overkill as far as trying to push the show.
The match was fine. The commercial was probably just a rest hold anyway. I mean, you've all been to live events, and when they go to commercial, it's grab a headlock.
Yeah,
you
know what? Rob hasn't been like, you know, he's not in the best shape. He's doing good, but I'm sure he's still not in the best shape, and he's getting older, so he probably could have used a breather. And he's still smoking weed, so you know what I mean? His lungs don't have the best, you know.
This might be a little off topic, but we were talking about Rob Van Dam. On Raw the next night, of course, after SummerSlam, he comes out with Ricardo. I have never seen a wackier combination in my life.
To me, it kind of made sense to me because, I mean, he had Alfonso with him running around with that whistle, being the cheerleader.
Okay. Okay.
It kind of fit.
Well, here's the thing. Ricardo just failed a wellness test. I think we know. Well, you know what? They don't suspend him for pot, so. There are a lot of Mexican Americans who smoke pot, so I'm sure pot in some way is their connection.
He got popped for steroids, by the way.
Oh, he did? Wow. He got popped.
It's
just as ridiculous as Rikishi, or Umaga.
Umaga on steroids.
Yeah.
Hey, Kitcher, my computer might shut down here in a minute. It's giving me, like, it was running like a scan and telling me it might shut down. So just keep control of the switchboard.
Okay, I got it.
Okay, cool. But I'm sorry, go back to what you were saying, Chris.
I was through with my thought, but I will continue with the review. Next out, we had JoJo from everybody's favorite, okay, Ed's favorite television show, Total Divas, singing the national anthem, and she actually killed it. She did a fine job.
She was.
Liam,
she was
be
watching
her back. Liam going to be out of a job.
I was thinking the same thing. Lillian's pushing 50 or whatever, and JoJo is the new and improved.
Plus the fact that Triple H thinks Lillian is a horse face for some reason.
What do people think that?
I don't know. She's hot. She's beautiful. I mean, she's getting older, but she's still beautiful. She's got some incredible legs. I mean, I mean, I love Lillian, but JoJo did do a better job at the anthem. I mean, she was actually really great. She actually had some stage presence. I mean,
mm-hmm.
She might be too small to be a wrestler, but, you know, who knows? She can improve over time, but, I mean, they could definitely find something for JoJo. I think I really like JoJo. There's something about JoJo that I really like.
Little schoolgirl crush you have on her?
Hopefully Randy Orton doesn't ruin her.
Okay. But she is a spinner.
Technically, you mean. Anyway, the first match on the show was Kane versus Bray Wyatt in a Ring of Fire match. And, well, it kind of sucked. I'll be honest with you.
These matches are always good in theory, but when it comes off, they sound good.
Well, the original one I thought was actually pretty cool with Undertaker and Kane because they had those flames going fucking 20 feet in the air on some of the moves. And, you know, they pushed the fire more. Then I also remember Kane against MVP, which wasn't nowhere near as good as the first one, but you got to see MVP's ass catch on fire and him run to the back with his ass in flames. And thank God he didn't fart and he could have burned one of the people in the audience.
Oh my gosh. I remember in the first one, didn't Paul Bearer get control of the flames and he turned them up high and so Taker did like the dive over the top of the flames?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
Very cool spot.
I don't blame either guy. It's not their fault.
Yeah,
I mean, they couldn't do too much. You can't get too close to the ropes. You'll still burn yourself even though they're not,
the
you know,
match.
So-and-so.
They killed the gimmick.
I laughed my ass off with the kendo stick.
Why not throw it over?
The funniest thing is he tried to hand the kendo stick in through the fire, but the gimmick was he was going to catch the stick on fire. So when it finally caught on fire, he throws it on the floor, and the fire went out immediately. And like 30 seconds later, here comes a fireman over with an extinguisher and puts out the non-flamed endo stick. High comedy. Anyway, the finish was Harper and Rowan were trying to get into the match the whole time, but the flames, of course, were keeping them out. They somehow found a blanket to put over said flames. Got in and beat up Kane, and Bray hit the... Now, everybody's calling it the downward spiral. I don't remember this being the downward spiral.
It's not
the
downward spiral.
Is where you just land on your back. He kind of twists them, doesn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's more like the crossroads almost than... Anyway, it's a...
I blame Chris Canyon for all his downward spiral stuff.
Sure, I will call it the downward crossroads. Anyway, they hit that and won the match. It was a nothing match, and everybody was unharmed and unscathed and unsinged.
I got to say, the one hillbilly with the mask, he's pretty smart to figure that shit out. I was thinking, how the fuck are they going to get in there after all the failed attempts? and then carpet, you know, who knew?
Yeah, it's a work. Paul Heyman did an interview. He basically said that both sides agreed that Lesnar and Punk would be no DQ, and I was excited. And then the show ground to a halt because Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow had a match.
It wasn't that bad. It's just the crowd was kind of dead for it. I mean, it was just, it was like a Raw, really like a Raw match.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have as much anyway. Up for it.
Oh, yes, he did. That was the big story of the match, actually.
Apparently,
and that was stupid of him just shaving off his, and I know they were supposed to do something on the Cole and it'll be, whatever the fuck
debut.
But, you know, they could have had Damian cut it off himself, you know, I mean, cut it off, you know, shave it off. Get some heat.
Yeah, he could knock him up from behind or something and just, like, shaved it off of him. That would have been much better.
Yeah, dude. Exactly.
Except
that would have got
the Daniel Bryan.
Match.
Except they just did that with Daniel Bryan and Wade Barrett. You know what I mean?
That was
anyway.
Like 2 weeks ago. Who would remember?
I did, and that's pretty impressive.
It's Wade Barrett. Nobody cares.
Anyway, Cody Rhodes won with the Crossroads. I heard Sinbad marking out all the way from Seattle. And fine match. I mean, it wasn't bad. It was just fine. Anyway.
The thing about those Money in the Bank briefcases, you go on a losing streak if you win them.
Unless your name's Randy Orton.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get to that later.
Well, I don't even think he's wrestled a match since he won the thing.
Not yet. I'm sure he'll be wrestling on Monday. Anyway, next up, we had the world title match, Christian versus the battered and bruised Alberto Del Rio.
Yes. Good thing Bill White wasn't in charge.
Yeah. The champion got into a little scuffle the night before and was, in his words, hit
first,
by a beer bottle.
First, it was reported that they fought each other, because that's what I was seeing at first. That they
that's
got
what I read it as. That's kind of how I read it.
It on.
They've made a comment in the show.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, apparently the story going around is that the girl that Drew was with was being hassled by a couple of men. Alberto jumped in and took a bottle to the face for his troubles, and he was all cut up and bruised and two black eyes. Even during the match, he started bleeding out of his nose because it's probably broken. But, tough day at the watering hole for Mr. Alberto.
Here's a tip. Don't go out in California with Drew McIntyre. Something always happens.
Yeah, like he didn't get fired. I mean, what happened to Tiffany?
Mm-hmm.
They should have fired Drew and kept Tiffany.
Sure.
What's the deal with these women when they get their big pushes on TV and they get pregnant? I don't understand it.
I don't know.
Tiffany's pregnant, right?
Yeah.
Wait, she is?
Yeah, that's why she's not on TNA anymore.
Tiffany.
She got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
It's just weird because, you know, you had, like, Karma getting pregnant when she was in the middle of a big push, and you got Tiffany getting pregnant. She's in the middle of a big push. Jeez, rubbers, everybody, please. Screw up your storyline.
Right? And then, hopefully it won't be as crazy story as...
not pregnant when she was taking falls off the ladder and doing diamond cutters off the fucking ramp. Like in that pay-per-view match. Jesus.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, you get babies where you can put your hand between their eyes when that happens.
But I fully expect her to be fired in the way TNA is going now, but she's pregnant.
Well, God, I hope not.
Well, they did sign TJ Perkins today.
Oh, yeah, I'll watch that video. That's the most ghetto thing I've ever seen in my life. Jesus.
Yeah, they signed their X-Division champion that's been champion for like a few weeks and been on for a while.
Jesus. And poor Jesse Sorensen's mother. They're going to have to check everybody's mother's finances when they sign contracts now so they don't go bankrupt so they have to pay for the fucking medical bills. God.
Yeah.
Good company.
Anyway, this match was fine. It was a good world title match. Easily the third best match on the show.
And, it was better than fine. I thought it was really good. There were a lot of innovative spots.
He got his one more match and he didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's a liar. Got to turn heel.
I loved how he went for the spear and got that drop kick right to the face. That was an awesome spot.
Yes. The finish saw Christian hitting the spear, but the shoulder that Del Rio was working on for several minutes during the match, he ended up getting him into the arm bar, and after a struggle, Christian had to submit. Good match.
Did you just call Del Rio Dorito?
That's racist.
I might have. That's not true, right? Anyway. They had they showed clips of Natalia and Maria Menounos wrestling the Bellas, or excuse me, Brie Bella and Eve. Eva Marie.
They should have been on the pay-per-view. It probably would have been the third best match.
Eva Marie is a lovely, lovely young thing. And I will leave it at that. Next up, we have Brie Bella versus Natalia.
Awesome match. Tell me you didn't mark out for that Fighting Spirit spot to start the match, Craig.
I don't even remember this match.
Yeah.
I...
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, it started off with them slapping the shit out of each other. Like I said, straight out of the Day One climax. And they had awesome match. I don't care what either one of y'all say. And it's the greatest TV show ever that they did the stars of.
I will say this about the match. Natalia won clean with a sharpshooter.
Yeah, she didn't screw it up like she did that one time. But speaking of Natalia... Tell me you didn't like seeing her in that black bra and panties on Total Divas this past week, Craig.
Ed, I told you 2 weeks ago I will never watch the show again, and I've never watched
the
show again.
You don't know what you're missing because, goddamn, Natalia is fucking hot.
She's a very attractive young lady.
She looks like the man in that relationship.
Yeah.
She is bigger than him.
Yeah, she's dating a midget. A very talented midget, but a midget in the middle.
Don't you know TJ?
Yeah. Yeah, he's a good dude.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I know Brian, too, and I'll call him a midget to his face.
Why are you not mentioning any segments with the Miz?
Because I don't care about them.
That was actually, you know what? I thought it was the Miz was gonna suck. I thought I'm not even gonna pay attention to when he's on. But they only did three skits, and I actually thought it was I actually kind of mark out for Fandango sometimes, and that was one of the times. I thought that was actually pretty cool.
When Miz and Maria Menounos when they danced off and just left Fandango and Summer Rae just standing there looking like.
Yes.
Somebody just showed him up, just chained. That's pretty funny.
I love Summer Rae. I think she could be a big, big star.
I think she could be as big a star as Kelly Kelly. And in fact, when you look at her, she looks like Kelly Kelly.
She just doesn't look like she's going to break if you touch her too hard.
Sure. They speaking of skits, they had a skit in catering where Ryback made fun of the caterers because his soup was cold, at which point I shouted, it's gazpacho. It's got to be gazpacho. And sure enough, it was gazpacho, which is tomato soup served ice cold. And Ryback poured it down the front. Yes, it is very gross. Poured it down the front of the man, and... He was not being a star, and I'm sure that's how this whole angle is going to end, with Ryback getting his comeuppance for not being a star.
He's almost like a cartoon character. He's almost out of a Bugs Bunny cartoon, the way he's doing it.
Mm-hmm. He is the Brutus or Bluto of the WWE.
I would run it out to WrestleMania and then sign Goldberg for one appearance to come out and squash him. I think that'd be awesome.
There was a rumor going around, but I think Goldberg actually squashed that rumor this week. That would be fine. Then the show got awesome. CM Punk versus Brock Lesnar in a no disqualification match. This was the greatest thing I have seen all my life. Probably not, but it was phenomenal. They had a slobber knocker. Everything they did, I believed. I'm a grown man.
Yeah.
it was tremendous. Tremendous, tremendous.
I was
worried. Brock was fucking huge.
Yeah, I'm worried about that.
I was wondering how they were going to work this match, just because of the obvious, because it looks like Brock should just be able to like run through Punk with no problem. But they worked it perfectly to make it believable. So,
yeah.
I got this as my, this so far, I think that this, for me, this is my match of the year so far.
Agreed. Agreed. It was absolutely tremendous. Horrible chair shots by Mr. Lesnar onto Punk. The stiffest chair shots I've seen in WWE in years. Of course, nothing to the head. But some scary spots.
I like how they stole the spot from the Triple H match where, he didn't have the Kimura, but he had the triangle.
Yeah.
And Brock, one thing I don't hear people giving him credit for, he's like the greatest seller.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he makes it believable that someone that big, the way he's selling, it's just, I don't know, I get a big kick out of when he's selling shit, like especially in this match where he's getting like devastated at points, you know what I mean? Where he's almost beat.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just, Lesnar is just an incredible worker, and I don't think people actually see that.
Mm-hmm.
He's not just a big bad monster who just pounds on people. I mean, his showmanship, he's just incredible. He's just made for wrestling.
He's believable, which is the main thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, exactly. At one point, Punk tried to Lesnar had Punk up for the his move, the F5. And Punk reached out and grabbed Heyman by the tie. And the greatest tug-of-war I've ever seen ensued with Punk trying to pull Heyman in the ring by his tie and Brock trying to
let go.
And
Heyman was awesome in this match. I mean, that thing where he's screaming, let him go, and just everything. And then just perfect timing on that one-year fall. I mean, you couldn't get any closer than that almost. I mean, all three guys were just out of this world.
After seeing how they worked, how Punk worked with Brock, I really want to see Daniel Bryan and Brock Lesnar have a match.
I was thinking the exact same thing.
Because I think it could be even better.
Possibly.
I think Bryan's better at all the MMA stuff than Punk is.
He even has more fire than Punk too when he making like a comeback where he goes crazy, you know.
But some real innovative spots, like Brock was hoisting him up for an F5, but Punk turned it into a DDT.
That was kind of funky. That's like the funkiest thing the whole match was.
The kick out of the F5 and then the shoot kick to the head. The only way I could see it. It was great. Lesnar ended up winning with an F5 on a chair for the pin. Punk didn't even bother blocking it. I think he was looking to come up with color. But just a tremendous, tremendous match.
I like the double foot stomp with the piece of the table on top of him.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty cool. Totally fair.
I always get sad after Brock's matches because he's gone for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but apparently he'll be back for sure. I mean, supposedly it's longer than just this 1 year, so, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably for the best to keep Brock away for like a few months. That way you always keep him as... He never becomes one of the guys. He's always going to be Brock because he's only in for like a couple times.
He has to have one of the best deals in the history of this business.
He gets to have sponsorships on his gear. So imagine how much money he's making off of that shit.
Just the amount of money he's making just for like what, maybe 3 wrestling matches a year? 4 at the most?
Yeah. And then, like, Night of Champions apparently was up in buy rates. I can only imagine what SummerSlam's going to do.
You mean Money in the Bank?
Yeah.
Money in the Bank. What did I say? Oh, Night of Champions. Money in the Bank.
Night of Champions was next month.
Yeah. I'm seeing into the future.
Next up, we have Dolph Ziggler and Caitlin versus Biggie Langston and AJ. And, it wasn't that good.
It was just supposed to bring everybody down.
They didn't have a chance
regardless. And I think Big E could be a way bigger star than Dolph can, and I want to see Big E start to win.
I like Dolph with the baby face.
Yeah.
I like him against the Shield Monday. I think he's like a scrappy little baby face. It's always going to, kind of like a Shawn Michaels type.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy
him. He ain't no Shawn Michaels.
Well, only one person is. So. Shawn Michaels' beard in that panel that they had, my God. He must be joining the Wyatt Clan. You got Bray Wyatt, now you got Gray Wyatt.
That or he's going to go out for Duck Dynasty or something.
My God, that beard's epic.
Yeah. Big E hit the big ending on Ziggler for the pin in the match. The women were hardly in at all. And
I thought Ziggler won.
I'm sorry. Ziggler slipped out of the big ending and then hit the zigzag for the pin. I apologize.
I was going to say earlier that I don't know why they lost this match. Their match with Natalya and Kali on Monday. They're losing this one. That makes sense. They must have been filming something for Total Divas. I don't know.
Well, to be honest, this is where I'm throwing up air quotes. The incident went down that we will talk about in just a few minutes, which means I missed most of the next match, which was tremendous because I had to go back and watch it. John Cena versus Daniel Bryan for the WWE title with Triple H as the guest referee. The match was 27 minutes, and it was phenomenal.
Yeah, this has got my vote for match of the year. I like this one just a shade above the Brock Punk one.
The fans were losing their minds in the stands, chanting yes. It was absolutely tremendous. The heat was awesome. The crowd was amazing, and it made for an amazing, amazing match. Not to mention these guys busted their butts. And
he knew he was going to be gone for a while. He said, "Well, I'm just going to go out there, go 30 minutes, and I'm just going to do whatever I can. Fuck my elbow. I'm just going to, you know."
For all the people who chant that you can't wrestle at him, he worked his ass off with one arm and had an awesome match. I mean,
I think people just yell that because you're supposed to. This is John Cena.
No, I think there's also marks who just refuse to give it up, and they, you know, think he can't wrestle even though he doesn't have bad matches. Especially on
anybody believe in that? Just quite frankly, he's a fucking idiot.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about Red Team fans here.
I know. There's lots of them.
Yeah, it is galore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you're I'm sure you watched with a bunch of idiots at Brian's house.
Well, at least three or four.
You know what was the funniest? I'm sorry, I got to jump ahead of this. The funniest thing that I ever read on the board was Supersonic, a man who does not realize that people are annoyed by his ass and just a pain in the ass, and somehow he was able to tune out Brent Crimmin. It's like, God damn it. If I wanted anyone to be annoyed by Brent Crimmin, it would be Supersonic just because how annoying he can be at times, and he just tuned him out and didn't give a fuck. And him of all people.
We'll get to that. So anyway, Brian ended up winning the title. If you don't know that by now, you've been living under a rock.
Plain as anybody's ever beaten John Cena too.
Yeah, total. I mean, he didn't kick out at 3 7/8 or, you know, nothing. He didn't. He just.
It was so plain that I knew something was coming.
Yeah, and then the celebration started. And confetti fell from the ceiling. The fireworks went off. Everybody was losing their minds, chanting yes. And people in, grown men in Brian's living room said, they're going to let him keep the title. They're going to let him keep the title. And it got longer and longer. And the celebration went on and on. And then Randy Orton's music hit. Came out. He stood on the stage. He had his briefcase in hand. Looked like he was going to turn and walk away and let Brian celebrate. But no! Triple H booted him in the gut, gave him the pedigree. Randy slid in, handed Triple H the briefcase, laid on top of Brian, 1, 2, 3, new champ.
It kind of reminded me of a show I was in live for, and I think it was Dallas, and Chris Benoit defeats The Rock, and I'm like, yeah. And then I look at my phone, I'm like, fuck. And then sure enough, here comes Mick Foley. So it was like, I pretty much had knew that Orton was coming, but I'm sure there was a lot of people who felt like the way I did with the Benoit match, where they were, you know, really thought that he won, and then they look at the time and be like, oh shit, something's going to happen here.
I thought this whole scenario with the match and the post-match, I thought this was just great professional wrestling.
Absolutely.
I know a lot of people are upset that he didn't get to keep the title. The thing that sticks out to me more than than winning the title is he beat John Cena clean. Fuck the title. One thing that sticks out to me.
So, I kind of got worried when he kicked out of the Unbreakable small package. I was like, because I actually thought that was, because that's how I kind of envisioned the match going down, that Brian was going to win with the small package. And then he kicked out of the small package, and then he just took a flying knee straight out of the G1 climax and fucking just pinned it. I mean, that looked so awesome. I mean, because it looked like he just knocked the fuck out of Cena with that knee. I mean, it looked so good the way he did it. And like you say, Cena was out for the count. And that was phenomenal.
To say that they worked a little snug on this pay-per-view would be the understatement of the year. It was, they worked very snug on this, the whole show.
I like the superplex spot where he rests his legs in the rope so he doesn't go down. I've never seen that before.
Mm-hmm. Well, you would have if you would have watched some G1 Climax, because that's Toby Makabe's, like, big move or something, and he did it just like him. And then the fighting spirit spot where they were just slapping the shit out of each other was badass. And then Brian pulled a Minoru Suzuki and started using both hands and fucking whipping his ass with the flaps. I mean, that was fucking, I was marking out hardcore for that spot.
Well, I'm very sad I missed the G1 Climax, and Ricky Suck It To Me's a match where he did the thing with his legs in the super flip.
Toby Makabe.
Him too.
And then, like I say, Cena tried to steal Tanahashi's fucking move, where he kind of sets him in the Styles Clash off at the turnbuckles and just kind of dropped down and dropped Brian on his head, like he didn't kill Brian.
Are you okay?
I don't know why.
I don't know why, but I just found a funny spot in my brain and wiping away tears. Anyway. Okay, so let's get into our Super Chat of the Face stories. first off, and I'd never finished the story from a couple weeks ago, and Daza was very disappointed. Brian and I think I have
an idea what the story is, Craig, and I actually have to disagree with you.
Okay, you can disagree with me all you want, but hear me out, and then I'll tell you what exactly happened. So, I had, and I told Brian this at the time, I said, we are having the most retarded argument we've ever had. I'm sorry, that's not a politically correct term. We are having a stupid argument. Brian texts me, where should we go for Super China Buffet? I tell him, let's go to Tulalip like we did last year, and let's start same time. So, Brian gets on his radio show the next day and tells the masses, 4 o'clock. We'll get there at 3:30. We'll line up, and right at 4 o'clock, we'll get in there, we'll eat, and then we'll get out. By the end of our conversation, as I am upset with Brian that we need to start earlier because there's some people coming from the south, myself included, it's an hour out to Brian's. It's another 30 to 45 minutes past that to get to the casino. We're talking almost a two-hour drive for myself and three other guys. So, he says, don't worry about it. I bet you $25 you'll be out of my house by 8:30 and you'll be home by 9:30. That puts me to bed about a half hour late. No big deal. I said, it's never going to happen. I'll take that bet. So, as we're driving to the casino, fast forward to Super China Buffet, we're driving to the casino, and there is this thing called traffic. Brian doesn't understand about things like traffic and delays. So every time he thinks he needs to get somewhere, it's a good 40 minutes from his house to the Key Arena. I have never been on time for a show ever because I'm standing out front holding his ticket, waiting for him to show up because he doesn't understand things like traffic. He doesn't take them in, nor does he understand time. So we finally roll up to the casino about 4 o'clock. We get there. The line is out the door because we got there as soon as they opened up. We don't get back to Brian's house till 6:15, almost 6:30. And then they wanted to watch the pre-show. I said, I've already seen it. Fast forward. Absolutely not. I said, you're not just going to put me home late. You're going to put me home super late just to spite me while I take your money. He said, exactly. You suck. So, then the incident happened. Brent showed up to the Super China Buffet, and he was fine. As did, by the way, Kenneth Rodriguez, a.k.a. Bluefist, and his Mrs. the Irish Car Bomb. Lovely people, and loved chatting with them and hanging out with them. And, by the way, you'll be happy to know Edward. You know who picked up Sonic and took him to the Super China Buffet?
Oh, you?
Absolutely, I did. Because that's the kind of guy I am. Yeah.
That must have been a fun car ride.
He talked most of the way. And,
I figured that.
Yeah.
He tell me he didn't go into a stupid movie that he's riding in his bed. That is the most annoying thing he does talk about.
I warned the other two guys. I said, he's going to talk about matches, and then he's going to put star ratings behind them as he's talking about them. And these guys they're not fans. I mean, they're fans, but they're not smarts. They're not smart fans by any stretch of the imagination. I just kind of gave him a heads up. Sonic, he's an okay guy, but he's a little grating at times. Let's see how this plays out. So, anyway, had a lovely dinner. Not just Super China, but we had Chinese, we had American, we had Mexican, this buffet is ridiculously good. We are at the meat carving stations and all the buffets. They had ham and prime rib, and they had salmon, and just phenomenal food. Another thing, there's this guy, Phil, who befriended me a few years ago, and he's a good friend of this guy, Mike Blinn. Mike Blinn reffed the match between Brian and myself on our very first match we had against each other. I had not seen Mike Blinn in over 15 years, and he showed up, and I was so happy to see him. He's a good kid, and anyway, good guy. I'm glad they hung out. So Brent shows up to the buffet. He's got a young lady with him.
Now, was she with him last year? Because I remember somebody brought him. I think someone took him last year. Okay.
Yes, she was with him last year. She's a nice lady. But I don't know how to say this. You know when you look at somebody and you just can't, you can kind of tell the lights are on and maybe somebody's home?
Yeah.
You know?
So, that's kind of so she has that kind of in common with Brent.
Exactly.
Maybe that's why they get along, because kind of like, you know.
If you know Brent or have been around Brent, this is the kind of girl he would attract. Does that make sense?
Kinda.
Okay, I'm going to be kind and leave it right there. So, they showed up to the Fae, they had a good time, they ate, and then we caravan back to Brian in traffic again, by the way. Thank you, Brian Alvarez. Because you don't know what you're talking about, because you don't understand time, and you don't know things like traffic.
Why do you think I always slip out with him when it comes to WrestleMania in Vegas? It's just, the dude is just like...
I know, he's oblivious. Absolutely oblivious to time. And it's because he works for himself, and he works at his own pace, and he works his own schedule. So he thinks everybody else needs to be on said schedule. So when there's a schedule to be had, he'll have none of it, because that would be conforming. Anyway, get back to Brian's. Everybody's happy. Everybody's walk in. Whitney's got a couple of bottles of wine open. Everybody's sitting down to watch the show. Everybody's having a good time.
Did the cats watch the show?
Sure. They mostly hid because there was quite a few people in Brian's house, about 25 or so. Then Brent showed up, and there was a audible sigh in the room when he showed up. Like somebody had opened a window and turned on a fan. Anyway, Brent comes in and from the get-go starts acting wacky. And the funny thing is, Mike Blinn, who the guy who I hadn't seen in 15 years, had noticed one of my very first meetings with Brent. He came into my house with Brian and Mike, sat down in a chair, looked at me straight face, and said, "Do you have any microbrews?"
Did he know you weren't a drinker?
He had no idea. Not did I have any beer, not did I have any beverage. Do I specifically have microbrews? One guy that I met this weekend, his name was Lenny, nice kid. New to the Seattle area, and was drinking an Alaska Amber Ale. Mike pointed at it and said, "Hey, Craig, look, that guy's got a microbrew." And we all had it. Anyway, so Brent was being his annoying self, chiming in and trying to get people to look at him and acknowledge him as we're watching the matches. And then
he was cool at the buffet, and then when he got to the house, then he went into gimmick mode.
Well, that's the thing. I didn't sit by him at the buffet.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I remember I've eaten at a buffet with Brent, and I remember just sitting there eating, and I'm looking across the table, and Brent is picking a bunch of bananas down his shirt.
Great.
And before he snuck off with the bananas, he made sure to show everybody the bananas that were in his shirt, and then he ran out of the casino with about 5 or 6 bananas.
Right. That's what he does. He draws attention to himself. Everybody look at me, look at me. So he was making little comments Vinny, of course, was having none of it, telling him, shut up, Brent, which caused a... Because Vinny's not having it. He's done with Brent. In fact, during the buffet, I leaned over to him. I said, do I get to come to your wedding? He goes, oh, yeah, of course. I said, can I know the date? And he goes, yes, but if you tell Brent, I will kill you. That's fair. Okay. So anyway, Vince is having none of it. And I get the idea. Whitney had a bottle of red wine open. Maybe, just maybe, I can shut him up. Or at least...
Or just maybe Cray wanted to get back at Brian.
No. That was not my intention. That was not my intention.
He said, you're up to no good, Craig. And I think you might have been... I think it was payback time.
Let's get
Brent go super wacky. Brian would have a conniption. No. And it'll be all fun and laughs.
No, that was not my intention. My intention was maybe if he gets a little buzzed, he'll shut up. So I poured him a glass of red wine from Whitney's bottle. She was fine with that. And the next thing I know, he's sipping on it, and he's going, ooh, I don't like red wine. It's not sweet enough. So he hands the glass over to his friend, and she's sipping on the red wine. And she doesn't like it either. So the next thing you know, I see Brent up and pouring red wine down the drain. Craig, I don't like red wine. Do you have any white wine? I'm like, this is not my house, Brent. And then out of the corner of my eye, I see one of Whitney's friends, and she has whipped cream vodka, something I had no idea that existed. And I said, hey, Brent, you like sweet, do you? He says, yes, I do. I said, look what I found. He said, ooh, that'll do just fine. I keep a bottle of that in my house for when lady friends come over, he says.
What lady friends?
Exactly.
I just like the term lady friends.
Yes, that's the direct one. So I go over, I rinse out the wine glass, and I swear to God, I poured maybe two shots worth of whipped cream vodka into this wine glass. I gave it to him. I said, sit down. So then,
just hearing what he the fact that you have a crazy person and you think the way to calm him down is to give him a drink. Now tell me you don't think that's just a bad idea just right off the bat.
I don't know. You're taking a gamble. It could end up good or bad. You just...
Exactly.
I don't know. Like Russian roulette.
I was out of ideas. Okay. I knew I couldn't trank him and drag him out to his car. You know, I couldn't slip a pillowcase over his head and then beat him and then throw him out in the street. So I went with option number, B. So anyway, right before the main event, they had the girls' match with Ziggler and whatever. There's kind of a commotion going on, and Brent says, I'm leaving, bye. And then they walk towards the door, and I went over, and he's like, maybe I could, no, Brent, you got to go, your ride's leaving. No, I can catch a cab. No, Brent, please, come on, get out of here, come on. So I ended up physically picking him up and taking him out to the young lady's car and leaving him right next to it. What happens next was straight out of a movie. We're in the living room. Everybody has focused back on the TV. And Brent walks through the front door. He goes over to the cabinet, grabs a bottle of red wine, and starts pounding it. I did not give him the last drink. He's pounding red wine and is tapping me on the shoulder. Look, Craig. And he's just downing this bottle. I'm like, this isn't good. So then the girl slips back in, and she is visibly upset. So Whitney goes to the door. They go outside. I'm like, Brent, you need to go. You're trashed. Your ride's leaving. She's obviously upset. And I'm not going to get into the details of why she was upset, but she was very hurt, and I'll leave it at that. And no. Well, now everybody's mad at me because I'm the one who gave Brent his first drink. And so now I'm feeling bad. I walk outside. I said, Whitney, I am very, very sorry. I will make sure Brent gets home. Thank you, Craig. Well, the next thing, she's been out there for like, 20 minutes. And Brian gets up and he leaves. And now Brent's losing his mind. This is your job, Brian. Why aren't you watching this? Don't do that. And he's just causing a scene. And I'm like on my phone, I'm looking for him a taxi cab. I'm looking for him a ride from a bus stop. I'm desperately trying to get this man home safely and not in my car, by the way, because I've already got Sonic in there, for God's sakes.
Right? That would have been an awesome car ride.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Not to mention I didn't have room for it. So, long story short, the girl ended up leaving, and Brent was rude and unkind and acting like a fool. And I felt like I had done something really bad. So I
like you ruined the super side of a fan day.
Why don't you suck it?
Basically that's how you felt though. I mean, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I felt like I had. But it wasn't me. It was Brent acting like Brent. So I pulled Whitney aside. I hugged her. I said, I am so very, very sorry. And she said, thank you for trying to fix things. I said, I'll do what I can. I'll get him home. As I turn around, this sweet, sweet man, Billy, the man that had the flags flown over Afghanistan that sent them to Brian, Granny, and Vinny, says, I've got nobody in my car, Craig. I'll take him home. I don't know this man. I've never seen this man. I've never met this man. I wept on his shoulder, and I hugged him and embraced him and offered my services for life. Whatever he needs, I'm there for it.
Did you think he was a handsome man?
He was a good-looking guy.
He's a pretty boy.
Yeah. Well, he's, in good shape. He works out in Monday. Anyway, let's not talk about this. Anyway, so...
Real quick, when I met him in Vegas, I was expecting this scarred-up, balding, older guy all gruff and to kill somebody with just looking at him.
Sure.
And then this really kind of handsome guy came in, hey, Ed, how you doing? I was like, oh, wow. Kind of surprised me. But he was super cool.
So then he's a very nice guy. And he said, I'm going back to Tacoma. I've got nobody in my car. I'd be more than happy to drive Brent. And I said, thank you, Brian. I'm so very, very sorry. I didn't mean for this to happen. I just wanted to mellow him out, blah, 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 blah. And so everybody keeps it really, really vague for the next couple days because this is an issue between Brent and this girl, and everybody's trying to keep it nice and cool and this and that and the other thing. And Brian and Vince get on their show, and Vinny just buries the guy. And then Brent gets on the board and buries himself. You try to protect people, and you can't save them from their own selves sometimes. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
that was the Super China Buffet story. Brian said he didn't blame me. I still felt very badly about everything that happened. I literally had no idea Brent was that much of a lightweight. Or it interfered with his meds. I don't know. But now I know we've all learned something.
That might actually be what kind of happened. You know what I mean? Because, think about it. Take a muscle relaxer and then just forget you took one and then drink a beer, just one beer, and you'll feel a little wacky,
Sure.
And who knows what Brent takes, because I'm sure Brent takes something because I've met the man. The man is not right in the head. You know what I mean? And
agreed.
I got that opinion real quick.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I mean, it's just you kind of let the match and a wildfire just kind of took over from there.
I lit the match, and it burned my fingers, and I dropped it, and then it spontaneously and combusted and turned into a breadcrumb.
So what I've been able to figure out from like listening to Brian, from kind of hearing from you, from reading what Brett wrote on the book, thing, what really kind of blew it out of proportion is, it was, yes, he called the scene, he was a rude, he was a dick, but Brian Avini kind of, the way they, when they talked about it, I think they kind of overplayed it, and, you know, then of course everybody wants to know what the hell is going on, and then that's when Brett feels he needs to defend himself and then make himself look even worse, defending himself.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, trying to make it sound like, you know, I mean, I asked Whitney, and I go, hey, Whitney, what happened? And on Facebook, it was basically, she just said that he kind of was making a scene, he wasn't being nice, and she had to talk to the girl outside for a while, and she was just like, the last thing she put was just blah. So I could like, tell, something had happened. But
it was, you know, it wasn't a while. It was like 40 minutes to an hour she was out there with this girl. So apparently he was not just being Brent at the get-together. He was being a jerk long before they even left. Good God, it was just, in hindsight, I've had less problems at high school parties. When the cops came, you're trying to get people home. You know what I mean? There was less drama then than with Brent. And so, anyway, live and learn. Brent ended up burying himself. He looked silly, not only there, but on the board as well. I got home and had a nice message from Whitney saying, thank you so much for helping out. And then Brian said it wasn't my fault. But anyway, it's still... made me feel bad that, anyway.
It's, you know how, you can tell how bad Brent is when Supersonic comes off as a taint on the day.
Right. No way. Yes. No. Yeah, anyway. Sonic was funny. So that's my side of the story of Super Chinama Faye.
And hopefully there will be a Super Chinama Faye Day next year, and this just didn't ruin the whole thing for everybody.
Maybe we'll treat it like Vinny's wedding, and we won't tell him where it's at.
He'll find a way, Craig. He'll find a way.
Think about it.
Brian's wedding was across... You either had to go over an hour around this peninsula, or you had to take a ferry to get there, and somehow a man with no money, no car, no nothing, somehow he got there.
You remember when Shawn Michaels was describing Owen Hart back in the day, that you do your business and you flush the toilet, and there's that one little nugget that always ends up coming back into the bowl? That's Brent Crumman. The nuggets. Of the figure four.
That's actually like a perfect description.
See Brent chant nuggets.
Are you sure there's no hard feelings? I mean, why are you doing this show with us and not hanging out wearing shark caps and sunglasses with Lance Storm?
I, quite honestly, I've not been invited yet. So I've been, not to just, I've got to work and stuff and, so, we'll probably hang out with Lance here next couple days. I'm not sure. I've not received a message. I've not been invited. I'm not going to call up and say, hey, man, maybe I want to hang out with Lance Storm, you know, because, you know, they came here to see Brian and see Seattle, and that's what they're doing. So if a dinner or a something is to be had, I'll go hang out. If not, I will.
Maybe you can play some Pinnacle or... what do you call it?
Pinochle?
Pinochle. Pinochle with Lance and Granny.
Pinochle.
Did, think about it, you could have a team of Granny and Lance,
sure,
and Craig and Brent Crimmin.
Yeah, no. So, oh, the best thing, by the way, the best thing is I'm at work on Monday, dragging, because I didn't get home till 11:30. Thanks, Brian. Didn't see that one coming. I go to hit the head in the middle of the day, and I grab my phone, I check Facebook, and who sends me a message? But Brent. And so I message him back, I turn off my phone, and it immediately vibrates, and I pick it up, and it's Brent, and now he wants to have a conversation with me. And he's
message him back, and then turn off my phone.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
Anyway, then so we're having this conversation, and I'm in the head, and I'm getting, he'll send one sentence at a time, and I, in the middle of me typing my response, he sent four more sentences. So
I hate people who are like that. Big D. Whenever I chat with Big D on Facebook, I try and type one sentence, and there's like 10. It's like, goddamn, dude, slow down.
And so finally I said, Brent, I got to go back to work. I'll talk to you later. No hard feelings, I said. Oh, God. Anyway, so there's all the drama. Here's our wrestling podcast talking about eating and Brent Crimmin. So I did get a good chuckle out of him, actually, at the buffet when I came back to be the table and had a huge slice of ham on it. I cut into it, ate it, said, Brent, did you try the ham? He's Jewish. They don't eat ham.
Well,
anyway.
Speaking of, like, the first time I met Brent at Brian's wedding, like, me and Rodney are standing outside the buffet doors waiting for basically the people we know. Like, we were waiting for you, but you never showed up. Like, Vinny and Brian, because, we didn't know anyone else. So
I guess that's
the first person we happen to see is Brent, and Brent's walking through the buffet, and it looks like he's walking with a little Asian man who actually turned out to be Brian's dad. His dad looks more Asian, Mexican.
Absolutely.
But we're standing like 5 feet away, and we're just like observing Brent because we don't want to introduce him. We just want to observe him, dude, for a while.
Yes, in the wild, as it were.
Yeah, see him in the wild and kind of like see what we're going to be, what we have to deal with. And the first thing we hear is, Brent, do you have any non-kosher items in the buffet or shit like that? And me and Ronnie just started laughing. He's like, yep, he's just like we thought he was.
Mm-hmm. that's Brent. That's Brent.
But anyway, what did you do for Super China Buffet Day, Katrare?
Nothing.
Didn't you leave your house besides to go to work?
I stayed on and watched SummerSlam. What the fuck else do you expect me to do? This is not a national holiday. It's something a bunch of nerds came up with for their website. They talk about it on the radio every year.
Right.
It's not anything that they expect to go out and do. Jesus.
Speaking of not conforming to the cause, there's Katrare.
Sorry. I'll take
this. Okay, I'll ask the question. How did your Super China Buffet go, Ed?
It was actually just okay. It was basically just because Supersonic's no longer here. So it was basically just me and Barb. Me and Barb went to Red Lobster and had endless shrimp. And
good call.
I was not able to eat all the endless shrimp, unfortunately, but I ate a whole shitload of shrimp. And they had some new grilled wasabi glazed shrimp that was fucking awesome. But it wasn't that great because Barb was having some issues with her family and brother and just was kind of depressed and in a sad mood, so it was just a kind of a quiet, somber meal, and that was basically it, and then I went home to watch SummerSlam. So it was very uneventful, very basically almost boring Super China Buffet Day.
I'm sorry, I missed such a thing. Because apparently I was supposed to be doing this.
Dude, I would have traded either of you for my afternoon.
and Craig, and this will make you happy. I had totally forgot that I had got this package weeks or maybe even months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was getting ready to walk out the door, I was like kind of just like looked to the side of my room and I kind of just saw the corner of it. I was like, hey, you know what the fuck that is? So I opened it up and we were wearing our Figure Four Property of the Empire shirts to Super China Buffet Day.
Yes. I'm glad you finally got it a month and a half ago.
Yeah, well, I will say it's a very comfortable shirt, actually.
Yes, it's a very nice shirt. Only the best.
I just wish it was like the banner that I have here hanging in my room where on the bottom it says founding member Ed in San Antonio.
By the way, if you want one of those shirts, I've got a few left. I've got extra large all the way up to 4XL. So if you are in that size, contact me through Facebook, through Twitter. It's a proper jam. Or email me at candleofthought@msn.com. Love tip of the shirt.
You know, I'm sure a lot of people are thinking 4X. Wow, who would wear a 4X? But I remember one time when Granny
You'd
was kind of selling shirts, there was a guy from, like, I think Australia maybe, who kind of mentioned he kind of wanted one, and she's like, oh, well, we'll get you one. He's like, no, Granny, I wear it like a size 7X. So I was like, wow, how big was that, dude? That's got to be like King Kong Bende Viscera size.
That's like me
hey
and
guys,
Oliver Top running into
We're actually getting a call here.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go ahead and put this person on the air. Caller calling from area code 206. Who's this?
Oh, no.
This is Brent Kremen calling.
Oh, my God.
Hi, Brent.
Hello.
How are you?
Well, I'm doing all right. I guess there was quite a bit of discussion over my behavior at the Super China Buffet Day, so I'm willing to discuss that if people are interested.
Uh-huh. And,
well, Brent, we actually just heard Craig's side of the story, so why don't you give us your side of the story since you called in?
Oh, goodness.
Well, how about if you ask me questions, and I'll be happy to answer them.
Oh, okay. That's not a bad idea, actually. Brent, be
yeah.
honest. How much alcohol did you drink on your own, and how much alcohol did Craig pour you?
Well, I do not hold Craig responsible at all. It's my decision. As to how much alcohol I wanted to drink. I probably had. Let's see, an average glass of wine is probably, I think, 8 ounces, so I probably had maybe 12 ounces of wine, maybe a little bit more than that, I don't know, maybe between 12
yeah.
and 16 ounces of wine, and then I had that Pinnacle, it's a sweetened vodka, so I probably had about 2 or 3 shots of that, and that
sure.
was it.
Yeah, it wasn't a ton. I was very surprised at your tolerance, Brent.
Yeah, I'm not a big drinker.
You don't say.
When I drink, I tend to either get silly,
uh-huh.
or very emotional, like crying my beer type stuff.
Oh, thank God that didn't happen.
I thought it was pretty silly, wasn't it? Sometimes it can be very mellowing on me, which is, I think, what we were hoping for.
To say that you were silly would be like telling somebody in the path of a tidal wave they would experience moisture.
I see.
Yeah.
But it did not have a mellowing effect on me.
No, not even a little bit, which was really what I was looking for.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Sometimes it does have that effect on me, although apparently did not this time.
Well, whatever you don't get silly around Ed in San Antonio, because there could be problems.
Right. Well, I don't know exactly what those problems would be, but I certainly am not a fighter, that's for sure.
Well, that's my point is that Ed enjoys the sticky green butt.
Oh, yes. I have no interest in that.
Now, Britt, basically, the story is that, you know, you had a friend there who drove you, and she, I guess, wanted to leave a little early, and there was some kind of incident, like maybe you were mean to her or said something to her. What is your side of the story to this that caused your friend to become very upset with you and to cause, like, Brian and Whitney to have to go outside and talk to her and then become very upset with you?
Well, she and I have talked a lot since. Basically, she was very kind to go and give me a ride from her place in Shoreline, which is a little north of Seattle. That's where actually our Senator Patty Murray is from. She got me a ride to the casino for the buffet, and got me a ride over to Brian's, and I had offered to pay her gas if she got me a ride back after the show. But I was thinking that maybe because she's not really a wrestling fan and she had to be at work the next day, that she might not stay to the end of the show, and in that case I wasn't going to be paying for her gas, and so when we were at the buffet I offered to pay for her buffet, which was about including the including the tip, about $25 or so. She declined to have me pay for the buffet, and then when I there was just she just didn't understand exactly what was going on. So we so Craig and Brian encouraged me to leave with her an hour before the show started and before the show ended, and I wanted to see the Daniel Bryan John Cena match. So when we got in the car, I said, you know, why don't you just take a few minutes so I can, I didn't have my cell phone with me and I rarely use it anyway, to use her cell phone to call the she doesn't have a phone, and neither do I, where you can look it up on the internet, to call the bus service to see whether I could leave from, Brian lives in Bothell, so I could leave from the Bothell Park and ride, and that would get me back to Seattle. But she didn't want to have the patience for it. So, so I said, okay, that's fine. You just go ahead and go home. And I'll go back in and I'll take a cab. Well, she didn't hear me say that I was going to take a cab. I mentioned it, but she just didn't hear it, and so she was concerned that I would strand myself there. She went a year ago. She joined us for ice cream, and so she met some of the guys a year ago, and I was going to... it was 2 years before when Brian was going to pick me up in Everett to go to the to go to that same that same casino. I missed Brian. He was going to pick me up at the Everett Park and Ride and the North Everett Park and Ride, and I got confused and I missed Brian and I felt terrible. I'm never going to put Brian in this position again. And I actually played the messages for when Brian was upset with me, and so but he wasn't that upset. I guess it's because the buffet didn't end up open until later, so it worked out okay. Anyway, that's what was there a few years ago. So my friend remembered that situation of me inconveniencing Brian, and so she didn't
want me to be in that position again, figuring if she left, I would end up stranded. And I, you know, she didn't hear me say that that wasn't going to happen because I had enough money for a cab home. They have a flat rate cab, so probably with about $25. So Craig was kind enough to arrange somebody to get me a ride all the way home. So when my friend arrived back, she was upset because she thought that I would be stranded there, and then she was upset because I didn't pay her the gas money that I had said I would pay her, you know, if she, you know, took me back at the end of the show, but she didn't stay to the end of the show. And ultimately, I thought about it, and I decided that that because she's been so kind to come and visit me from either Shoreline or North Seattle to where I am in, you know, in downtown Seattle with, you know, with the, and she's taken me grocery shopping. She's been very, very good to me, and so I'm going to go and get her some money for the gas for all of the effort that she has made. And so she and I have talked, and she just feels that it was just a lack of communication. And she feels that under the influence of the alcohol, she didn't feel that I was really any different than, she didn't feel that I'm really any different than I normally am. And she was talking to, Brian and Whitney some about how I was going to get back. They had a discussion because she's known me for about 10 years. And so they were just, I think, discussing Brent's tendencies. And I had urged Brian, I said, listen, this is your job to cover the pay-per-view. It's not fair that you ought to be talking to my friend. I said, let Brian go back in the house and do his job. And Brian went over to the door and says, no, I can watch it on delay later. It's okay, don't worry about it. So I feel bad that he was taking away time from his job, but that's what he chose to do. So, Alana and I've spoke for a couple of days, and this weekend on Saturday I'm going to a fundraiser for ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. There's a former University of Washington women's basketball player, Melissa Erickson, who just died a few months ago of ALS, about age 34, I believe. They diagnosed her at age 27. So we're going to go. They have a called Ring Around the Needle. You go to all the bars around the Space Needle, mm-hmm. and they get a T-shirt and stuff. So Alana and I are going to be going to that charitable event. So, there's no hard feelings. And as your audience might be interested in, that'll be Brent under the influence of alcohol again. So if anyone's interested, Ring Around the Needle, Melissa Erickson Foundation.
Yes, and while you're there, you're talking to Matt Farmer.
You want to see Brent get drunk again. It starts about 1:30.
You're talking to Matt Farmer's bar right there, right across from the Key Arena, by the way.
Yes, that bar, if I'm not mistaken, is closed. I have checked. It's right across from the Key. I looked in there, and it's all torn up inside. I think it's done.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, I haven't talked to Matt in a while, so anyway, check that.
Yeah.
Okay.
There some of the bars. There's Jabu's Pub where it starts. There's Bandits is one of them. There's like seven or eight. There's Floyd's Place. They'll be there. They'll probably be at Oscar's, Sean Kemp's restaurant. For those of you who remember, Sean Kemp played for the Seattle SuperSonics for a number of years. That was on the team of the
finals. Now, Brent, you know, given what you just told us, your side of the story, so I guess in your opinion, you would probably think that Brian and Vinny just totally overplayed this whole situation on their radio show, which kind of caused everybody to want to know what happened and everything?
I appreciated what Brian had to say. I mean, he went and he talked to my friend for quite some time, he and Whitney. I talked to her when I wasn't there. So, you know, I take seriously what he had to say. Vinny had to say, I don't know how much of that is I don't know how much of that is a work. I don't know how much of that is a shoot. I can't really read Vinny very well, but I can say that at the TNA house show, when I managed to get there on the train, there's a special train that goes there. I tapped him special on train. The shoulder when he was watching the show, when he was during intermission. I tapped him on the shoulder and he turns around and gives me a big grin. So I'd like to look back on that.
Well, Brent, we have 5 minutes left in this show. And
sure.
Throughout
Craig,
the
do you have anything to add?
Brent, I've said my piece.
I clarified things.
I you did fine. I'll leave it at that. You did fine.
All right.
I wasn't going to tear the scab off the wound, but thank you for calling in and doing so.
Yeah, sure. So I just wanted to apologize to all of my fans out there. I really appreciate all of the fans that I have, all the people that care about me, and if I've disappointed them with my behavior, as I know I have disappointed people with my behavior, I feel really terrible because I appreciate all of your support.
Brent,
thanks for calling in, Brent, and for everything you just said. And we do have to kind of get our plugs out of the way, so we're going to have to go ahead and cut you off the line here. But once again, thanks for calling in on your own. Nobody from the show asked you to be on. So, yeah, that was cool. So have a good night, Brent.
Good night, everyone.
See you soon, bud. Yeah.
Thank you.
There he goes.
Okay, yeah, there he goes. So anyway, we got 3 and a half
minutes.
I'll change
the title of the show in the thread. Change the title of the show, you know, just say the Brent song. So,
okay.
Some people might not read.
Yeah, that'll get us some downloads and keep people from downloading. But anyway, everyone, check out angrymarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at angrymarks.com, along with a lot of other shows at angrymarks.com. So check them out. You can also hear us at blogtalkradio.com/Contrere, and you can hear older shows at blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo. And you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio, and you can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo and at Ed in San Antonio. So definitely do that.
You can follow me, like I said, at Proper Jam, ProperJam. On Twitter, and that's where I do all my wrestling and the music talk, along with the show and Ed tagged me in it. So, yeah, follow me there. And thank you to the criminal for calling in tonight. And I don't know how he got this number. I don't know who stooged us off.
I think I know who did. And
yeah.
I thought he was just kind of like joking around, but now I guess he was serious when he said he was going to try and get him to call in. But.
Contrere.
Yes. I'm on Twitter. It's Contrere35. Just started tweeting again the other day, and you can tell how long it's been because Contrere35, that's when I was 35, and now I'm 39, so I haven't used it in about 4 years. So.
Okay.
Then you can go to youtube.com/Contrere. I got a bunch of great videos up there. I just posted 64 episodes of Smoky Mountain Wrestling from 1992 and 93. 19 episodes of Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling cartoon show from the 80s.
Oh, my God.
About 192 clips of NWA from 1984. So all that stuff's up there. If you want to go check it out.
When are you going to download some G1 Climax, damn it?
Probably never.
Settle down.
God, you suck.
I don't have the time nor the inclination.
Well, there you go.
Now, Craig, you asked me were you going to send me some stuff? Did you ask me for my address? Or just...
Yeah, send me your address. I've got a ton of videotapes that I'm not going to do anything with. And,
are they unlabeled?
No. They're all very well labeled, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
So send me your address.
It's got some old porn in there. You can throw that in, too, if you want to get rid of it.
But that's not going to happen because I don't, you know, have any. But,
okay, I'll email you my address.
You didn't ask Brian for any of the Mexican people to send him all those boxes of porn?
I don't know what happened. I think they'll sound their way into the dumpster around Brian's house, which means some mom got very lucky if he was lucky enough to find a DVR or a VCR in there as well.
I'll email you my address. I wasn't going to put it up on the Facebook thing because I don't want Ed showing up
that's
in my
fair.
House or nothing. So.
I can't show up at your house.
Maybe it might happen. Let the weekend begin.
Weren't you, like, happy to see me the last time you saw me? Because, you know, I kind of gave you some good shit to smoke.
Well, you made me pay for it. Not like you were giving me something. I was giving us a card.
Oh, shit, it was still some good shit.
Oh, you're just being all right, huh?
Yeah. But anyway, it's
right after I left, I went and got me, like, a couple of large pizzas and went to the house and, yeah. Good times.
That's kind of awesome, actually. Anyway, Ed, play the music. Let the weekend begin.
Do we have any plans for next week or anything?
Not yet. We've kind of run
what are we doing this
theme
music
month.
Show?
I'll work on it this weekend and get it to Katrina by Monday or Tuesday. How about that?
Okay.
And any songs that we don't put up, I will just perform them live.
Okay, I'll get my guitar and I'll back you up.
Okay.
You're going to be like William Shatner? Booyaka, booyaka!
Yeah. Yeah, be like William Shatner. Speaking of William Shatner real quick, I got to check out the new Star Trek movie yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
Very good.
That's all right. The first one was better.
I'm not sure. Boy, toy. Play the music, Ed.
Well, hold on. I got to get your thoughts on one more thing before we go. Not wrestling related, so like half the show.
Okay.
Team Affleck or not Team Affleck?
It's fine. Who cares? He'll do good. Argo is a great movie. End of story.
You sure?
What movie?
Ben Affleck is apparently cast to play Batman in the Batman and Superman movie.
Oh, it's not going to be Christian Bale? They're not going to do that?
Right. Yeah, they're done with
nope.
it.
I
thought you were about buying insurance.
Yeah, he was.
Ben Affleck.
I know you don't have insurance.
Insurance? I don't work for TNA.
Do you think Ben Affleck will be a good Batman, or do you think he'll be a shitty Batman?
I don't know.
Hey, well,
is the guy that played Superman this year, is he going to be playing Superman?
Probably, because it's probably going to suck just because of him, because that fucking movie sucked. I hated it. I don't know how anyone would like that shitty movie.
Great
movie. Let his dad die. Come on.
Your dad wanted
me to,
so I'm not
going to
get into this.
I don't care if he wanted us to. You know, my dad says, just let me die from the tornado. Fuck that. I'm going to go save his ass. I don't care if he wants me to or not. Because that's a Superman thing to do. And then when you're fighting Superman does not destroy the whole city and kill thousands of people. He saves them while the fight's going on.
Sound like Brian. If this was real when he's watching professional wrestling.
That's true.
He's a shitty Superman. And just like Superman said on Brian's interview, you know, the whole movie was ruined when the super scientist was kicking the super soldier's ass at the beginning of the movie. So how the fuck was Superman going to get some heat on him, you know? So it was already ruined.
I'm going to listen to a fake superhero like him.
I think Adam Carolla said it the best when he said, I always find it funny when Superman is doing something like moving the Earth. He has to strain. He furrows his brow and he stretches and he strains. It's like, can you move the world or not? You know?
I mean, you're invincible. You got super strength. You can do anything. So.
Yeah. I did hear the best joke yesterday, though. I will share it now. Ben Affleck is going to do something that neither Jack Nicholson nor Arnold Schwarzenegger can do. He's going to kill Batman.
Or George Clooney.
Yes.
Yo, George Clooney killed Batman.
He was fine.
You watch those Batman, the Batman from like the last few years, and you watch those like, who was it? I can't remember the director. The one that's always using Johnny Depp in all his goofy movies. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know you're talking about
him something. I can't remember his last name, but
Burton.
Look at those
Burton.
Michael Keaton movies. Actually, Michael Keaton was a pretty decent Batman, I thought. But, no, they look like cartoons compared to the ones the last few years.
Yeah.
Thanks, Pat.
Pretty much. But anyway, I guess we'll go ahead and end the show now, knowing that we're all members of Teen Affleck.
Thank you.
Be the man! You gotta beat the man! You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the mic and shit! Let's go hook him up!
Tonight.